Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast about children's development from the Center for Inclusive Childcare.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm here today with two very special guests from the Minnesota Department of Education, the Division of Early Learning, Olivia Christensen and John Vopel, who are going to be here today to tell us about some new language around children and their beginnings in school and education and their educational path. And it's a new framework that the Minnesota Department of Education has really spent a lot of time talking through and planning for. So I appreciate both of you being here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So why don't we just get started with that new framework? It's called the Successful Learner Equation. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, the Successful Learner Equation is this framework that we're using that really recognizes that children are always learning. They're always ready to learn more. And it's really the responsibility of adults and systems to be the ones that are ready to support them as they grow and develop and transition into kindergarten. So this equation identifies our four interconnected components that really need to work together and partner to support successful learners. And that includes families, working and partnering with schools and programs, which work and partner with communities, and of course, work and partner with the state and our systems to support successful learners.
And typically, when we share the successful learner equation with others, not in a podcast, we typically share a graphic that is a representation of the successful learner equation. And so instead of showing it to you, obviously, what I'll do is I'll describe it to you. So on the left-hand side of the equation, imagine four symmetrical circles, and each of the circles have some text in them, and they each have one of the four components of the successful learner equation with a plus sign in between those four circles. And so in the first circle, you have ready families, plus sign, and then next circle is ready schools and programs, plus ready communities, plus ready state and ready systems. So then following those four interconnected components, there's an equal sign. And on the right-hand side of the equation is another larger circle that contains the text successful learners.
So I can just explain that this this work we've been doing, as you said, we've been working quite a bit on it at the Minnesota Department of Education, is really a response to this narrative about kindergarten that's developed, which is this idea that children need certain skills to start kindergarten, that not all of them will be ready, that families better make sure their kid is ready for kindergarten, or else this kind of this fear, really, and leads to a lot of families worried that their child's not ready, that their child's going to do poorly, not be welcome and struggle. And so this is really just that time for us adults and systems to reflect on, no, it's our job. All children are ready. And what do we need to do to support them?
Right. And that existing language and those existing beliefs around kindergarten readiness directly, we feel has directly led to a lot of misunderstanding and confusion around eligibility for kindergarten. We also find that it leads to a very, very much a deficit mindset about kindergarten and about children, and also leads to harmful stereotypes and generalizations.
And speaking from the childcare sector, which are, you know, a lot of our listeners are providing care for young children in those settings, it's a lot of pressure on them as well to create this idea of this ready kid for school when really their focus should be on those early, you know, milestones that happen birth to five. And we can't jump ahead. We can't expect that a child, unless that foundation is set, will be able to be ready. So I love this language, and I love what you know, the Department of Education is really putting forth here. And so Liv, tell us more about that equation.
Well, it's different from this idea of kindergarten readiness or school readiness or all children being ready for kindergarten. That's really that old framework, and that's what we're trying to shake up and change.
So when we think about that term ready and, you know, that the difference in the language. I know that you're probably, you've done a lot of work. Tell us more about that, John, on, you know, the myths and misconceptions of what ready really means.
So, I mean, the first thing is that the term ready is pretty ambiguous and ill-defined, right? And the questions this raises is readiness something that we wait for? Is it something we impose on children? Is it a something that like is a within the child phenomenon, or is it something that's like external to the child? And you know, another myth and misconception is the idea that children develop along arbitrary timelines, right? Like, so, and we know that they don't. We know that neuroscience and brain, what we know about how children learn and develop is no. The other component I'd sort of add in is that readiness is defined differently by different people, different states, different experts. And those definitions really vary, and they're inconsistent.
So, yeah, and as John said, really this idea of readiness, we can trace it to being based on Piaget's theory of cognitive development and developmental stages. And, you know, we're not saying that just throw all of that out the window. Obviously, we know that human development follows some general sequences of events, but we also know now that it's really complex and affected and influenced by just so many different factors. And arguably, you know, Piaget worked with a pretty homogenous demographic when he did his research. And, you know, there's just like so much more diversity in schools today and in what we know about children and families. So while we still recognize those developmental, you know, trajectories, we know that there's nothing that happens when a child turns five that just magically makes them ready to start kindergarten, right? It's their own individual growth and development that we adults and systems support them as they move through that. And I think we all, you know, all of us in the early childhood and the education field would agree that we really learn by doing, particularly with young children who are just developing an understanding of their world. So they're going to learn about kindergarten by doing kindergarten. They'll learn about school by preschool, by being in that environment and experimenting and building relationships and all of that. So, you know, just really that reminder that it's our job to accept children where they are, to support their development, to recognize what we know about child development, what we know about children's, the importance of their families and cultures, and help them just, you know, grow as healthy, happy individuals.
Yeah. And the language reflects that we know that children arrive in classrooms and they bring with them a wide range of skills and knowledge and unique experiences. And part of that is because they come from a variety of different settings. And that is the current reality and landscape of kindergarten. We also know, we've said this before, all children are ready to learn. And again, this is about putting the onus and the responsibility on adults, and that includes families and programs and systems to surround and support each child. And again, bringing it back to the successful learner equation, it's about recognizing and uplifting the individuals, programs, and systems that contribute, when they work together, contribute to the success of each learner.
That's fabulous. Oh, I love that way of thinking about things. And so looking at, we've talked about the myths and the misunderstandings about school readiness in kindergarten. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what we do know about kindergarten and young children transitioning into kindergarten?
Yeah, well, you know, we're as former teachers ourselves are really guided by some things that we know and believe that's really informed our work in this regard and our engagement. As we've said several times, we know children are always learning. They're born ready to learn. Arguably, they're learning prenatally as well. So that's really kind of the key contributor to our work here. We know that experiences and skills and knowledge are tied closely to their family's home life, to their culture, to the opportunities that children have received. We know that a strengths-based mindset is critical to supporting children and families, and that diversity of all types should be celebrated in the work we do in education. We know that, you know, more successful learning will result when children feel that they're included and that they belong. And when they're treated that way, when they feel welcomed and accepted in their environment, and with that strengths-based mindset, you know, when they're believed in. And we know that adults and systems need to support children and their families wherever they are in their learning progression and wherever they are with their experience with school as well. Instruction needs to be developmentally appropriate, supported by research and individualized, and school needs to be welcoming and joyful for all. And this is really, we are going to talk a little bit more about this, but really believe that messaging, how we talk about school, is a really critical step to being that welcoming and joyful place.
That's for sure. And so why do you think it's important to change this language?
You know, it stems from a very simple premise that we believe that language matters. The language we use matters. Both Liv and I are former teachers. And if you think about how we approach language in our childcare programs, in our classrooms, in our relationships with children, language is incredibly important. It matters deeply. And so we believe that when we change the language that we use, and again, I'm talking about adults in the system, we then can start to influence and change people's perceptions and beliefs. Once you start to impact and change perceptions and beliefs, then that in turn has the ability, then we can really start to have an impact and change and influence policies and practices. And that's, to me, that's the sweet spot. That's the important spot where we can really start to have a meaningful impact on children and families when we do make changes to our policies and our programs. And ultimately, that's the goal of this work, is to have that impact in a positive way, the experiences and realities of our children and families.
Yeah, and it's a big system. That's a lot of change to initiate and move forward.
Yeah, and we also acknowledge change takes time. Changing language, you know, we don't expect everybody to change how they talk about this in a heartbeat, in a matter of weeks or months even. We know it's going to take a bit of time to sort of have some collective change and some meaningful change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, when you think about it, it's not just Minnesota that's having to go through these changes as well. Can you share a little bit more about on a national scale too?
Right. And, you know, that's a great point. And the reality is, you know, readiness or kindergarten readiness, school readiness, these are terms and phrases that have sort of been a part of the sort of national conversation in terms of early learning and education for decades. These are terms that have been used widely for a long period of time. But increasingly, today, there are concerns regarding the equity implications, mm-hmm, of identifying children as either ready or not ready for school, right? Right. Readiness implies this sort of binary, you're either ready or you're not. And that's just simply not true. And so a lot of times, right, in the same way, school readiness is oftentimes defined by that children exhibit very specific and certain skills and knowledge. But oftentimes that is very specific and particular to a child and family's experiences, to family customs and culture. And so that one size fits all approach and strategy just doesn't work. We think it's important that instead the language that we use should be asset-based, right? Rather than sorting children into a ready, not ready, what we want is an approach that is inclusive and embraces all identities, all children and families when it comes to transitioning to kindergarten and starting school. You know, one additional point that I'll make is NAEYC, and now I'm going to be put on the spot to make sure I get that acronym right, the National Association for the Education of Young Children, recently revised their definition of developmentally appropriate practice. And what they said, and this is really powerful, and it speaks, I think, directly to the successful learner equation, and so does children are born eager to learn. They take delight in exploring their world and making connections. And I think that's very true.
Yeah. And what a beautiful message to send to children who are starting their pathway to their educational road ahead instead of, Oh, you got to be ready. Oh, you're not ready. Oh, who's ready? That, I mean, all of that is internalized in the mind and the thought processes of a young child to say, well, I feel ready. Wait, then that's discounting their own internal, you know, compass mm-hmm. that says, I feel like I'm ready to start this process. So I love this new framework. And I know that COVID had a lot to do with a lot of impact on children and families. So Liv, can you tell us a little bit more about how this all relates to this process as well?
Yeah. So obviously COVID-19 and a lot of other forms of social unrest have contributed to those external factors, to a child's home life, to, just what they're internalizing and observing around them. And so we've heard from a lot of educators of some of the challenges this has perhaps contributed to a lot of social, emotional, mental health support. And so I think the other important piece of our successful learner equation, in addition to taking away that burden of readiness off the child and putting it onto adults and systems, it's also recognizing the real critical importance of partnership between adults and systems. So it's not just, okay, children, they don't need to be ready anymore, but all the teachers better be ready. It's no, all of us adults and systems need to support each other to support successful learners. And we've really done, work to hear about, what's happening and what are the needs. We know we've done some surveys to engage with communities, to engage specifically with kindergarten teachers and early elementary teachers. And we know there is limited collaboration between kindergarten, first grade teachers, and pre-K teachers. But we know there's a desire for more collaboration. There's only 24 hours in a day. But how do we encourage and support that and make sure that people have the time and the resources to do that? Because, I think we all recognize it needs to be done. It's just how and when right. and where.
Yes.
We've heard from teachers, and I'm speaking specifically to kindergarten, not knowing the student needs prior and knowing how important that would be. So wanting to find more ways to partner with families as well, to partner with teachers. Yeah, I think that's kind of the other key part of the successful learner equation is recognizing that complexity and how we are all important players in the work.
And I know that you were talking about some of the quotes that you received that you wanted to share, because I think that tells, I know for me, when I hear actual folks doing the work talking about the changes and how they see them, that's super helpful to really yes. see the importance and the gravity of what you've done.
So we did hear a lot from teachers about that partnership. And one quote we can share today, and this is a kindergarten teacher, saying children need to have ownership in their learning. Parents instill love of learning at a young age. The statement needs to place more responsibility on everyone else, as well as the family. This is what's wrong with the education system these days. We teachers can't do it alone. It's a daily uphill battle. Respect the education system and the professionals putting in the hard work each and every day. So I do think there's a real call for us to support the teachers, pre-K, preschool, childcare providers, and kindergarten, first grade teachers as well in this important work, and not just relinquish that responsibility to them. How can the systems be set up, help them be set up for success too?
Right, definitely. And it's so important to know that it's a collaboration of many and not just a responsibility of one group. So as we look further into this, what are some concerns that you've heard about kindergarten readiness, that term, and the goal of making sure that all children are ready for kindergarten and ready for school?
What we want to make a point about is the fact that, yes, MDE is changing the language and shifting its framework, but that also stems from what we've heard from the community, from the voices of our kindergarten teachers. And the reality is concerns really vary by family, by individual, by group. And in the extensive engagement work that we did with both community groups and also professionals who work with children and their families, it helps solidify that a lot of times it's what's implied by the messaging. That's what school readiness implies, or kindergarten readiness, and some of the other things that go along with those statements. And so let me get really specific and practical. One example of some messaging that is harmful is putting out a kindergarten checklist. And this is something that a lot of programs and schools do. It's a very common practice. Those checklists come, like I said, from a number of different places. Sometimes they're on websites. Sometimes they're a paper sheet that is sent home in a children's backpack or handed over to a family. It's also something that comes up if you just Google kindergarten readiness. You are most likely going to find a handful of what we call kindergarten readiness checklists in your search results. And what a typical kindergarten readiness checklist looks like. So this is just a sampling, right? They're going to vary. But here's an illustrative example, which is it'll say something. It'll talk about the knowledge and skills that a child needs to have in order to be successful in kindergarten. They should be able to count to 20, name basic shapes, identify colors, sort items by size, color, shape, write their first name, say the alphabet, name letters, sound out letters, rhyme words, dress, eat, and toilet themselves. They should be able to focus on an activity for 10 to 15 minutes. That's an intimidating list, right? And as a former kindergarten teacher, that's a lot to ask, I'd argue, and make the point. That's too much to ask and expect all children to come to the table with when they start kindergarten. So when families read and see that checklist, instead of what they likely hear are very different messages than what the intention was, what we'd like to think the intention was. So what families hear is your child needs one more year before kindergarten.
Right.
In other words, they're not ready yet.
They're not ready.
They need
to
do more, right? Yep. Your child isn't ready for kindergarten because kindergarten is too rigorous for your child. Your child's going to fail, right? Implied because they're not ready. Your child won't be welcome. Implied because they don't have these skills and these abilities. Your child won't make friends because they're not able to do these things. They may believe that there's judgment of how they parent and their beliefs and their culture. If I haven't done these things, like what kind of parent does that make me? And then one of the more harmful ones, not saying that those others aren't, but the message, don't send your child to kindergarten.
Right.
Wait.
Definitely. And that is a really daunting list that you read. One thing that when I used to teach preschool for many years and worked in an inclusive setting. And the thing that I used to tell parents about making that transition was your child needs to be friendly, curious, and attentive. Pretty much, you know, covers a lot. And parents would be like, oh, are they those things? Yes. And then you give example. But when you're listing off all those things, and I'm remembering kids who are ready to make that, it's setting them up for failure and also setting parents up for this frantic push to go through all these rote items on that list. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you shared that example, John. That was really interesting and a good thing to have part of this conversation. So when you think about the different communities and how they're impacted by this language, share more about, you know, how that might have an especially negative impact on children and families, more so in some communities and families than others.
Yeah, so I mean, I think when we hear that list, obviously there's all sorts of, well, I would argue that it's not reasonable for any child necessarily, but obviously, you know, children with disabilities or a family with a student with a child with disabilities will really be intimidated by that list and deterred from starting kindergarten. And we'll talk more about kindergarten is a great access point for services and supports.
Right.
And so we don't want that to happen. You know, things like high energy, I'm putting quotes, high energy children who, you know, this idea that they need to know how to sit still and concentrate for 15 minutes, which arguably is not even developmentally appropriate for 5-year-olds. And then children that, you know, are more active than others is especially challenging. Summer birthdays, immature children is kind of how that's phrased often. Children who haven't spent significant time with peers, who've maybe been at home or with grandma or a family member. And this again, like we said, they're learning kindergarten by doing kindergarten. Where should they develop some of these social skills? Obviously, children and families who speak other languages, those sort of checklists, and we have heard this directly from some of those families, are really are scary to read. Boys, we know, I think we talked earlier about some of the harmful generalizations, and boys not being ready for kindergarten is an age-old one of those stereotypes. Children who've not been in a structured educational setting. And I would also add that other communities that are impacted by this are, communities who can't, afford for another year of preschool. And so imagining that maybe they see this list, are feeling unwelcome and afraid and nervous, but don't necessarily have another option. And so starting school off on this really kind of sour, fearful note is a sad way to begin the K-12 experience. So, or expecting people to have the money to pay for it, and when maybe that, you know, jeopardizes other possibilities in their life as well.
Oh, good points and great things that you're bringing forward. And so, when can children start kindergarten, and what do families need to know about enrollment and the process to really get off on that right start where that successful learner equation can just happen naturally and flourish? That's a great word.
So in Minnesota, kindergarten eligibility is based on age. If a child is 5 on or before September 1st of that school year, they are eligible to be enrolled in kindergarten. As we've made clear, hopefully there is no checklist, no test they need to pass to enroll in kindergarten. They simply need to be 5. It is voluntary, so kindergarten is not required in the state of Minnesota. So it's really a family's choice. And part of our work around this is not to pressure families to feel like they have to enroll their child in kindergarten, but make sure they are informed with the correct, accurate information. So families do need to address a few things when enrolling their child in kindergarten, which is the proof of age. This can be submitted in a variety of ways. We like to dispel the myth that they need to have a birth certificate, which is not the case. There's a lot of ways a family can prove their child's age. They will need to address either before or during having their child complete an early childhood screening. Again, not a kindergarten assessment, really just a health and developmental check, which is a really great service the state provides. Immunizations. And families are not required to submit a proof of citizenship or immigration status either. So those are some of the common misconceptions as well. And we really like to, again, make sure families have that informed decision and understand the opportunities and benefits that come with kindergarten enrollment. As I mentioned, specifically families with children with disabilities, this is a really important entry point to access a lot of great services. Kindergarten is free, no cost, developmentally appropriate, evidence-based instruction and programming. Minnesota, we've got, high standards for instruction. It should provide a welcoming, safe, and supportive environment with licensed, qualified staff. Students in this place, this is the time when they interact with their same age peers and sometimes older peers in some school settings where they have, the third graders going down to read to the kindergartners. Like, these are really important social emotional experiences for children that you get in a setting like in an elementary school. It provides access to free early childhood screenings, to special ed related services, as I shared, mental health support, language services, often partnerships with out of school community-based programs happen. Now we know meals are going to be free for all. There's just infinite ways that kindergarten can support families and children. So again, we want people to feel welcome doing that instead of deterred.
Definitely. Well, and you talked about the benefits of shifting the language for families. Is there a benefit to educators? And I'm thinking that I can guess there is. So what have you found as reaction to this change in the language?
Absolutely. So we've spent several years now connecting, and we mentioned this earlier, connecting with community partners, and that includes educators, but also other professionals that work with young children, right, ranging from pediatricians to school administrators, teachers, childcare providers. And overall, the feedback has been very positive. And I'm going to highlight a couple of quick things. So the Minnesota Department of Education posted the language shift to the successful learner equation on Facebook. And there was a wide variety of positive posts when that happened. I'll just list a couple of those. Right. Someone said, like, this is, I'm going to laugh when I say this, but actual goosebumps right now. Very cool to see this mindset shift. Yes. And I laugh, but like to this person, you know, this was long overdue change in language. So they were really positive about that. Yeah. Another user said, I was jumping up and down this week when I read this. Not only is this a big step for children, but I feel validated for my years of saying this exact thing, right? And someone else, you know, wow, this is so amazing. Great job, MDE. So I think that speaks volumes about the overwhelmingly positive feedback. There are two other quick quotes I want to share from some of our community groups. That I think provides some additional context. There's one that's just, I think is just so powerful. And this person said, I am beyond thrilled to see the news from MDE about the successful learner equation and replacing school readiness and kindergarten readiness with a language about successful learners. This reframe feels so respectful of children, families, and childcare providers, and it makes me proud to live in a state that values our youngest Minnesotans so much. And I just think that summarizes it very succinctly and perfectly, and real benefits to children and families, but also very validating to our early learning workforce.
Definitely. And I think that that's so needed right now after some really bumpy years of a lot of ups and downs. And so as you think about our listeners, we are part of that early childhood workforce who's spending time with families and children every day. What can our listeners do to really adopt this successful learner equation mindset and be part of this positive change?
Well, really, it's to share the message, right? To incorporate this into your work and your communications and relationships with families. We have done this as well. You know, of course, the Minnesota Department of Education has plenty of work in this regard as well. So we've been reviewing language we use, language on our websites, language in our communications, to reframe and base things around the successful learner equation. Clearly, communicating with families about kindergarten eligibility is important. Sticking to, you know, those Minnesota facts really is key. Instilling confidence that for the family that the school will be ready for their child, helping them with making those connections with their school too, so that they're able to get to know their child's teacher, for example, or the environment. Just helping bridge those gaps. Advocating for and supporting the use of developmentally appropriate, culturally affirming, and play-based programming. I think those of us in the early childhood field know that this is an ongoing work for what we do. And we know that of kindergarten teachers as well. So we all just need to join forces and advocate for what we know is best to be ready schools and programs. And just identify new and different ways schools and community partners can work together across early childhood and the primary grades. And we on our website have a lot of new resources available too. So I think if you go to the MDE website and even just type in the search bar successful learner equation, it's probably the best approach to find some of those documents and guides that we've worked on too. So we're all in it together.
We are. And I know that we've included that in a recent update that we sent out. And also this will be in our podcasts out there on our streaming services. And certainly we will share this when we get it all edited and ready to go. We'll share this with you at MDE. You can certainly use this, but we're planning to really push it out there to a lot of all of our listeners to help them frame their conversations when they're working with families and talking with families about this transition. You've given such great information, concrete enrollment information on Minnesota kindergarten and what that looks like. And I'm super excited about this change. And I thank you both, John and Liv, for being here with me today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners. And if you have any other needs for resources and links to other great tools that help you in your work, go to inclusivechildcare.org and you will find them there. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, visit us at inclusivechildcare.org.